things get a little bit grim. But this is especially heinous.
Did you tell the police that she was murdered, May?
Nope.
Witchy ghost stuff.
Ah!
That made me scared.
A spooky girl amateur hour.
Excellent.
It's so good.
Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going. How are you, Taylor?
Oh, I'm good. How are you, Jenny?
So good. Dun, dun. So good.
So good. Sorry.
Welcome to the karaoke podcast.
Yeah. If you're not down to karaoke, we don't want you here. Just kidding.
Just kidding. We want you all here.
Yeah, because I'm truly not going to karaoke. So, jokes on me.
It just takes so much fireball.
Yes.
For me to karaoke.
Oh, I'm going to go a step further, and it takes at least 3 to 4 shots of tequila before I'm going to get up there.
Yeah.
And do any kind of karaoke.
Well, and you've done like maybe 1 or 2 tequila shots since the infamous
patio
tequila night.
Yeah. No.
Mm-mm. Which is like, what, 6 years ago?
A long time.
A long time
too
ago.
Too long. Oh my God. I was on Facebook today, and you know what my Facebook memory was?
Wah.
It was... I shared a video and I just tagged you in it and I said, this is you going through the hallway of death at the haunted house. And it is a woman who has a VR headset on.
Oh God.
And she is on a roller coaster on the VR headset. And I could not stop laughing even today. I'm going to show it to you. So give me 1 second. Oh God.
Taylor, play Scary Circus music.
Oh my gosh, that's going to be hard to find. I'll work on it. I don't think that there's any sound to this, and I'll edit this out, but... Oh, man alive. Mems.
Man. Oh, the mems.
The mems. There's...
Yes, I do. But I want you to know that Ian and I went last Halloween to the same place. They still had the scary like tunnel thing that I can't. And I was not drunk this time when I went with Ian. And I still do that. I think there's really something that happens to me with strobe lights.
Oh, yeah.
That it makes my brain turn off. Except for like 5%.
Okay, so we're operating very minimally.
Yeah, it makes me glitch. It's like trying to run like Windows 98 on an iPhone. Like it just doesn't
click.
Just doesn't click. I can't do strobe lights. They make me woozy.
So if you guys have gone through the like a haunted house, it's that hallway that the walls are spinning and you have to walk through a hallway where the walls are spinning.
But the floor is stationary.
Yeah, floor is stationary, although your brain tells you it's not.
Yeah.
And I just close my eyes and walk straight forward.
I can't.
And I did not know Jenny was drunk when I picked her up.
You should have known.
I should have known. But I'm also very stubborn. And once we've committed to a plan, I'm not letting you out of it.
No.
For any God-given reason.
Nope.
So I was kind of like, don't really care. You're coming with me.
Sorry.
Because we have had this in the books for 2 weeks.
I was V-drunk.
So Jenny was like, I don't think this is a good idea. And I was like, I just don't really care.
I tried to give the cop a lighter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, God.
And then I almost peed my pants.
And we almost stole a baby. Like.
No, hold on. We did not almost steal a baby. A baby was thrust into my arms.
Right. And I was like, this is not a good idea.
Taylor quickly removed the baby.
Oh, my gosh. This night was just
woo!
One for the books. But yeah, this VR headset lady, I'll post it on the Instagram if I don't edit any of this out. I could not stop laughing today when that memory came up.
Thank God for Facebook memories. I feel like most of the time they're like awful. Like I wish like, I feel like Facebook like bullies me.
Oh.
Like you don't need to show me that. Like what happened to the good stuff?
Yeah.
In my life? Like I've done good things.
Right.
But instead it just shows me like... when I was like 17 and I posted really sad lyrics to like My Immortal by Evanescence.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was like, no one understands.
No.
That's all I get on my
Absolutely. My only mine was Avril Lavigne lyrics.
Uh-huh.
And
she's complicated.
Yes.
She's different.
Oh God, cringe.
Freaking cringe.
Do you remember when you could talk to your friends through Facebook because you needed everybody to know what your conversations were?
Yes.
What? Why?
I don't know. Do you remember posting on other people's wall just like,
see you after tennis practice?
Right. Like XD, like rawr, love.
Rawr. Yes, I do. Do you remember stickers?
Oh my God, I do remember stickers.
And like poking on Facebook, like poke.
I remember, if some like dude would like poke you on Facebook and then you post a status to like Nine Inch Nails or the neighborhood lyrics, just like knowing that the dude who poked you was going to read your Facebook status and think you're like
extra cool,
a different kind of gal.
See, nobody thought I was cool in high school. So,
oh no, I tricked no one. People are well aware that I was not cool.
Hey, you know, the reason you and I became friends is a lyric to a song that nobody else knew, but you sang the first lyric in the band room. I whipped my head around and said the second lyric.
Was it Kill Paradise?
Yes, and then we became best friends.
I still like Kill Paradise.
I'm going to stand by that. I do too. And I also listened to Evanescence on my way home 2 days ago.
You did?
Yes. Girl, we haven't changed.
We're still the same.
God. We're still not cool. Still nobody likes us.
No. We have people like us.
Right? Maybe.
Do you guys like us? We need validation. Help us.
Leave us a review on iTunes. This is how we're validating ourselves now that we're 30. We live through this podcast 100%.
It's the coolest thing about me.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh, no. So a couple of my people at work, I know that they listen to this and they're going to laugh at me, but there was a slideshow one of my teammates put together at our last team meeting, just to give us some like morale and like all the things that we've done this year, even though we felt like we haven't done anything since COVID.
Yeah.
And they put together a slide for each one of us and like what our hobby was. That like, is during
wholesome.
It was precious. It was very, very well done and truly showed us how much work we have done in this last year when we felt like we weren't doing a lot. Well, it felt like we were doing a lot. It just felt chaotic.
Yeah.
But he had a slide for each one of us and like the thing that were working on. And I was like, ooh, he's going to post from a podcast. Ooh. And then he posted a picture of like my fireplace that I painted. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that was also cool, but my other big project.
No recognition.
None.
Please leave us a review or like, oh
Tyler,
my God.
I love you so much.
Follow us on Twitter.
Oh my God. We got our Twitter back.
We have our Twitter back.
Well, it's new.
It's a little bit grim too.
Yeah. Just like go there. Follow us there. Please ignore the first one. We can't take it down.
Please. Don't have access to delete.
Can we like flag it? Do you think if people like flag the
account? Oh, like report it?
Yeah, reported the account enough, Twitter would just take it down.
Well, I'd be nervous that they're going to like report our new account then we're going to have to do like a little bit grim 3.
Okay, no, can do.
A little bit grim 2. Number dose. Go follow us.
Yeah, go do the things.
It's a great meme dump.
Yeah, I went through, because you did the Twitter, and I went through and I was like, damn, this is funny. Good job.
Thank you. Yeah. So, validate us, follow us on Twitter, and, you know, continue to listen, because this is a true crime episode.
Yeah.
And it would be criminal for you to not listen.
There would be no justice in that. We're so stupid.
Not trying to police the way you listen to podcasts, but it would be a bloody shame if you didn't stick around.
You should take a stab at it.
These jokes are killing me.
Why? No.
We gotta stop.
Yeah, okay. All right. This is a true crime episode. Welcome to A Little Bit Grim. We're a podcast. In this first 10 minutes, we haven't talked about anything ooky spooky other than maybe ourselves in high school. But
that's the ooky spookiest of all.
Yes. The biggest cringe.
Right.
So today we're doing a true crime episode. I'm very excited. I am starting this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I just made Jenny watch 8 minutes of television that I hold very dear to my heart, and she laughed at it, but that's okay.
I'm just happy to be included.
So I am a huge Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan. Love, love, love. Epic television. And I have to give Buffy the Vampire Slayer the kudos because that's how I found my husband. But one of the actresses that is on the show, her name is Charisma Carpenter, and she played Cordelia Chase, and today I'm going to tell you her survival story.
Wow.
Yeah, it's very good. What happened to her?
Oh, well, you're going to tell me. Okay, sorry.
You all about it. Don't even worry.
You buried the lead.
I know. Okay.
Okay.
So, it's the summer of 1991 in San Diego, in the show Surviving Evil, hosted by Charisma Carpenter herself. Described San Diego as a sleepy city. Not much was happening, and everyone spent their free time at the beach. Surfing, bonfires, parties, all of this happened at the beach. It was super social hangout. San Diego had a very big problem that nobody knew about.
Okay.
Women were being attacked on the beaches at an alarming rate.
Whoa.
There were 6 attacks within a 2-month period between June and August of 1991. On June 15th, around 3 a.m., a young couple was having a night at the beach, which was super common. Couples would just go down there, chill, grab a blanket, create like another little bonfire, and have like a little romantic little spot.
I like a little snuggle puddle on the beach.
Yeah. And there weren't any other lights around other than the light that they created for themselves. It was pitch black out there unless they made a fire. So really people could go and just kind of do whatever they were going to do.
A lot of sand, a lot of places.
Oh God. Please bring a blanket. A young couple was having this night at the beach. They were down at Del Mar Beach, which was just a little north of San Diego, when a man came out of the shadows and robbed them at gunpoint. He then raped the woman and left.
Oh, God.
Yeah. On July 4th, the gunman raped a woman at Solana Beach, which was nearby. And then Charmaine Agnos was 20 years old in 1991 and decided to go to the beach with some friends for a small party on July 3rd to ring in 4th of July. She and her boyfriend decided to move a little down the beach for a private little bonfire, and it was getting late. It was about 1 a.m. on July 4th at this point. Charmaine is interviewed on the episode of Surviving Evil, and she recalls that the beach was quiet and nothing seemed out of the ordinary. She didn't feel like she was being watched or anything. She just felt like everything was this, like, picture-perfect evening with her boyfriend. She did not get the heebs at all.
Mm.
She didn't realize that there was a man behind them until he was right on top of them with a gun and a flashlight.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh.
His face was covered in a black ski mask. Like they didn't even hear him coming.
I don't know, like, what would be more unnerving. To, like, feel like somebody is watching you and then somebody is there. Or have, like, no inclination that anything is going on. And then you're, like, taken by surprise.
Too late.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I would much rather have that feeling of something is wrong or somebody's watching me, because then I could at least validate it and be like, I was right. You know, like,
only what an intense need to be right.
Absolutely. 100%.
So you'd be like, I told you there was a murderer here.
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to be on my gravestone. I told you.
I told you so. Love, Taylor.
I told you. Love me. Not my finest personality trait, but I'm going to run with it. It's fine.
I'm sorry. We're just at the age where, like, all of our character flaws have, like, just very much, like, solidified into who we are.
Yes.
Like, it's too late to be making any grand changes.
Uh-huh.
You just, like, acknowledge what is there and then just, like, move past.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was with someone who was very intoxicated, and I unfortunately was not. I was stone cold sober. And I was just being me, being a little sassy and being like, I told you shouldn't have fucking done this, but whatever. And this person goes, oh God, I can't even remember how exactly he said it, but he was like, yeah, you are kind of a know-it-all. And I was like,
well, We're like, that's because I know everything.
That's because I do know what's going on here, actually.
I'm a know-it-all because I know everything. Thank you.
Until I am proven wrong with cold hard facts. That I cannot refute.
And even then, there's a shadow of doubt.
Absolutely. I just don't believe anything. Unless it comes from me. Okay, I sound terrible. Nobody wants to be my friend.
Okay. I do. I want to be your friend.
You have to put up with me.
I love it. You keep me on the straight and narrow. And you told me stuff and I'm like, oh yeah, Taylor told me that's right.
At least we'll both be wrong.
I have as much confidence in you being right as you do in you being right.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh my God. Okay. I promise I'm not a terrible human in real life.
You're a beautiful human.
Thank you.
Keep telling me about this rapist.
All right. So he asked where the car keys were, which made them think that he was just going to rob them. Unfortunately, this was not all this person wanted. The masked man instructed the couple to walk further down the beach where there are a series of caves.
Ooh. Don't like a cave.
Stay out of the caves. He pushed the couple into a cave, and then he had Charmaine duct tape her boyfriend's hands and feet together, and she described the man as being super, super calm. He just gave simple, pointed instructions, and she said it seemed like he had definitely done this before.
Ew.
When he took Charmaine to another cave. He told her to put her shirt up over her head, which acted like a blindfold. He put a gun to her head and proceeded to rape her. Afterward, he left, and Charmaine ran down to the other cave to untie her boyfriend, who had managed to get himself almost free. And he was able to almost get to her, but he just wasn't able to get that last tie undone.
Mm.
Charmaine remembers him saying, "Shut up, you smartass," to her, as this would be imperative to the case later. On July 20th, two very young girls were at the beach with their slightly older friend, and this is pretty terrible. I'm just going to give you a warning now.
Okay.
The girls were 13 and 14. The masked man came out of the shadows, and he had the girls tie up their friend, and he repeatedly raped both girls. He asked the 14-year-old if she was a virgin, and she said yes. And he said, well, we're going to change that.
Oh, ew.
Horrible.
I cannot. Ew. Ew.
I keep those two girls, like, so tight in my soul. Like, I just hope that they were able to heal in some way from this. But
try to find, like, a new sense of peace.
Right. But this incident is what really got the public up in arms about what was happening.
That it takes something like that fucking foul.
Yeah.
For the public to be like, oh, man, we should, like, maybe do something about this.
Right. So the other cases were in the newspapers, and it was public knowledge. It just wasn't flashy front page news.
Mm-hmm.
So people were aware that something was happening down at the beaches, but until these two girls were attacked, it wasn't talked about at the dinner table. It wasn't something that people talked to their kids about. Sorry. Meanwhile, Charisma Carpenter is 21, living in San Diego. She's lived there all her life and describes herself as being fiercely independent. She's living on her own in an apartment where she happens to work as a leasing agent.
Uh-huh-ho.
I got so happy when I read that. So she had no idea that the attacks were happening on the beaches in San Diego, but she was dealing with her own issues at home. She kept feeling like someone was watching her, and she would regularly hear what she thought was somebody breaking into her apartment.
Oh, God.
And this girl's friggin' smart. Smart and beautiful. So she booby-trapped her own apartment.
Fuck yeah, she did. Indiana Jones that-ish right now.
Absolutely.
Better tell your landlord before they come to do, like, a furnace filter change, and you have, like, a maintenance guy strung up by his ankle. But, like, I'm here for it.
Yeah, do what you gotta do.
Booby-trap the shit out of that.
Yeah.
I want poison darts. I want false rock floors.
Yeah, there could be, like, a jungle, like, trap that, like, pulls you up.
Yeah.
Into the ceiling.
Yeah.
Maybe hit you on the ceiling fan on the way up.
Over and over on the head, just like, dunk, 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 dunk.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. All right. So she would put a bunch of pots and pans up so that they would fall over and hopefully scare away an intruder and also wake her up if they were able to get in the door. But no one should have to live like that. That's just sad that she felt so...
The need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did live on the second floor, so she felt like the chances of somebody getting in were slimmer.
Yeah.
But she knew, and something that only people who work in the apartment industry are going to know, is that sometimes the patio doors are put on backwards, which makes it, unfortunately, very easy for people to break in.
Yes.
So she knew that that's how the patio doors were installed. Oh. And she was very afraid of somebody coming in through her patio door.
So you need a wedge door.
Yeah. So she lived in fear of being attacked every single day. Police were still working diligently on the rape cases and were incredibly frustrated that the stakeouts weren't working. So all of this is happening at the same time.
What year is this?
91.
Okay, okay. So it's not like we have, like, Furbo or Ring doorbells or CCTV.
Nothing. Okay, okay. And the perpetrator was striking in areas that just didn't have a police presence. So the police were super frustrated. Meanwhile, introducing another person, Henry Hubble Jr. is a star police officer in 1991. He worked very hard and everyone liked him, and he was the son of a school administrator and teacher. So he was a bright student and was an all-around overachiever. He was married to a woman named Karen, and they had a 2-year-old daughter named Samantha.
I love that name.
I know, I do too. Every morning, the department had a briefing on the case, and in one meeting, the lead detective said that they believed the suspect was a tall, thin, black man. And one of the other officers looked at Henry and said, "Hey man, that sounds like you."
Hmm.
And he said it as a joke to make light of the very grim situation, but Henry seemed to take it very personally.
Wait. Okay.
On August 15th, Charisma and her two friends, Aldo Ocha and Arthur Garcia, went down to Torrey Pine State Beach for a swim. So I talked about Charisma at the beginning, but I have a couple of bullet points I want to bring up. She's best known, for to me at least, as Cordelia Chase on Buffy. Cordelia has one of the best character growth arcs in TV history, in my opinion. She was also in Charmed for a minute, and that's where she met my other favorite actress, Holly Marie Combs. And they're still BFFs to this day. It brings me joy. So I met Charisma a couple of times because she is super heckin' cool and does Comic Cons. And I try to go to a Comic Con like at least once a year, except for 2026. She's one of the most beautiful people ever. She's genuinely very kind, which is a rarity. Both times that I've met her, I got to talk to her and just kind of say thank you for being like somebody who brought this character who started off as a total bitch in high school some like heart, and they draw her character out. She's the longest character in the whole Buffy like universe. Oh. So she started episode 1 in Buffy and then ended at the very ending of Angel.
She lasts longer than Buffy?
Well, Buffy only goes for 7 seasons.
Oh.
So there was a spinoff show. So Angel. Cordelia was on.
Got it.
Yeah, so she was on both.
Wow, yeah. Taking over the franchise, Miss Thing.
Yes, people loved her. Okay. They loved her. She and Holly did a panel on women getting older in the media and how it's affecting them and their peers.
Mm-hmm.
It was fascinating. It was very stunningly honest, and I'll never forget watching them because they're both in their like late 40s, early 50s now.
Yeah.
And they're still such beautiful, charismatic people, but they're just getting cast as mom and like a little dumpy and a little bit frumpy.
And a little bit frumpy.
Women are bombshells. In no way, shape, or form should they be portrayed that way.
No.
And one thing that they said was they still have to go in person and audition for roles when their male counterparts don't have to do that. So
I just think that maybe just because a woman is over the age of 30 doesn't mean that she's not, like, a very dynamic person, and she's only a mom.
Right. Oh, I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about a case where girls would go to this nightclub, and on, I can't remember what night of the week, but it was granny night.
What?
And I was like, all right, granny, get your thing on, go. No.
Go on, Grandma Myrtle.
Granny night is for women who are over 25 who aren't married.
I'm fucking sorry. What?
Granny night.
I'm nauseated.
I was like,
I'm appalled.
You're gonna burn the place down, thank you.
Yeah. Let's fucking not. No. And like, what kind of bad marketing is that?
I think it was in the 80s, so
I'm not excusing the 80s. There's no excuse for that.
The 80s were just awful. So, Surviving Evil was the last show my mom ever talked about. I have the text messages saying, I can't wait to watch Charisma on Surviving Evil. And it would have been very cool for her to see the show. Unfortunately, she died 2 days before it aired.
Oh.
But I was able to tell Charisma that and be like, this was one of the last things she was excited about.
Oh.
And she was so kind and sweet about it. I'll post the picture. But it was great to meet her. Okay, so anyway, back to this horrible story. It was about 11 o'clock p.m. when Aldo, Arthur, and Charisma went to the beach. And there were a lot of cars, including a police car, driving around, so they felt safe. They just were like, cool, nothing weird is going on. And Charisma didn't know about the things that were happening down at the beach.
Sure, sure.
Charisma describes herself as being persnickety in the episode, and she said she wanted to fold up her clothes nicely and put them on the lifeguard deck so that they wouldn't get sandy.
Persnickety?
Yes, she says the word persnickety. I love her.
I'm just a wee bit persnickety.
I appreciate that accent, but no.
Okay.
The guys were already in the ocean when she heard someone by the lifeguard tower.
Oh.
The man came out from behind the tower and told Charisma to shut the fuck up, and he was holding a gun and a flashlight. Arthur and Aldo immediately came to the shore, and the man asked the trio for the keys to the car, money, etc. It's pitch black on the beach, so the only light is from the flashlight. At this point, Arthur realizes that this is the man that the police were searching for, and he had seen the stories of the attacks in the papers. Charisma pretty quickly realized that she was in trouble. Arthur and Aldo tried to remain calm while the assailant ordered Charisma to bind Arthur's hands. Charisma is super smart, like I said already, and she knew that if she actually bound his hands, she would be one person down. So she took the belt and put the pin through the hole, but didn't actually clasp the belt.
Ooh.
And Arthur figured this out pretty quickly and just pretended to be bound. Then she is told to bind Aldo's hands, and that's when she freaks out. She's like, I can't do that. If I bind both of these hands, I'm a goner.
Yeah.
So she tells him that he should do it because he'd be able to do it better than she could. She's basically stalling for time. And
I love the damsel in distress playing the damsel in distress. Like, but I can't do it. Like, can you do it better?
Yeah, you could do it better than I can.
Like, I'm so
shaky and weird.
I don't know how duct tape works. I can't.
So she's acting like it's not working, all of that kind of stuff. And he gets super pissed.
Oh, God.
And goes to tie up Aldo. So Charisma said, what are you going to do next? Rape me? And in the interview with Arthur in Surviving Evil, he says he remembers the exact words were, you bet your sweet ass I am.
Oh, my God.
So he is yelling and swearing at Charisma because she's not cooperating and tells her to sit next to Arthur. Now he's only one guy in the dark, so he hands Charisma his flashlight so she can shine it on Aldo while he ties Aldo's hands.
Or bash him over the head with it.
Yeah. So he crouches down and puts his gun in the crook of his hip while he does Aldo's bindings. Mm. So both of his hands are
occupado.
Arthur has his bindings off at this point and is ready to make his move. The first time he puts his head down to check his work, Arthur jumps up on him and there's a huge brawl in the sand. Sand flying everywhere, and pretty quickly Arthur is shot, but he doesn't stop fighting. He says he didn't feel or hear it. He just saw a small spark of light, but it didn't register what it was.
Look at that survival instinct kicking in.
Feel nothing.
It is amazing what the human body can do under times of, like, mental duress.
Absolutely.
And how our brain can shut down the physical part of us that we need to survive.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I am so fascinated by that because your brain is, we don't even understand half of the things that it's capable of.
No. It's just working to keep you alive. Whatever you have to, it's
whatever wild. You gotta do.
No. Wow. Brains are, like, really awesome.
That's our science degrees coming out.
Our neuroscience degree taught us that, like, brains are pretty cool.
Wow.
Wow.
Okay. Aldo jumps in and they are both just wailing on this guy. Like, punches being flown everywhere, sand everywhere. Charisma's just, like, standing there with a flashlight. Well, what the fuck am I gonna do? So she realizes she needs to get help, and she runs away toward the highway. There are campers and trailers up by the highway, and she's yelling and screaming, but no one comes out to help her. She can hear gunshots in the background, but she just doesn't know who's getting shot.
Oh my God.
I cannot imagine the terror. So Aldo is down for the count at this point, but not dead. Arthur is still fighting and nearly gets the upper hand, but the man says, if you know what's good, run. Just run. So he does, and he runs for Charisma, and so they can get help for Aldo.
Okay.
Arthur realized that he was shot once he gets to Charisma. At this point, he didn't even realize that
he was
shot. they're able to get Alda to the car, but there was a lot of blood, and he was saying Hail Marys, like he was pretty sure he was going to die.
Yeah.
They look around, and it hits them that they don't have the keys to the car.
No.
Right. So Arthur is like, damn, dude, you have a fucking flashlight? Give me that! I need to go look for the car keys!
Fuck.
So he takes the flashlight, runs back down to the beach to look for car keys in a literal mound of sand.
Oh my god.
By some whole-ass miracle, he finds them. The trio speed off to the local convenience store to call 911, and they describe going into this convenience store, and they are both covered in blood.
Yeah.
And, well, Charisma's in the car, and Arthur goes in, and he's just covered in blood. He doesn't have any clothes on.
Well, like, because they were
in the beach.
Yeah.
So he's got his underwear on.
Yeah. Great. Dripping wet. Yes. Right? Because they were swimming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Covered in blood and sand. And
okay.
Swamp monster.
In California. Yeah. I'd be like, okay, you're on PCP.
Yeah. So he's like, I need you to call 911. I need you to call 911. And the convenience store person is just like staring at him, like in shock. And so he had to go back behind the counter and call 911 himself.
Oh my.
Because he could not get through to this person behind the counter. Wild.
Wow. That poor, like, gas station attendant.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Aldo is not doing well, and he is fading in and out of consciousness, and Charisma is just trying to keep him awake in the car. Aldo was shot in the stomach, and the bullet lodged in his liver, and he was in critical care for a while, and they were not able to get the bullet out, so he still has it to this day, but he does survive.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Arthur was taken into surgery, but they were able to remove the bullet from his chest, because he was shot, like, just above his heart.
Okay.
Charisma gave her statement to the police, and they asked to see the flashlight that she had taken from the scene. Lo and behold, it was a police-issue flashlight with the name Hubbard engraved on the side.
Oh my, what an idiot!
What an idiot!
You don't have any other freaking flashlights?
Apparently not! You gotta take your police-issue one?
Idiot. So stupid!
Like, I'm afraid of doing podcast research on my work computer.
I don't. Like, same.
You're gonna take your work equipment with you to a crime scene? You big dum-dum.
A serial rapist? Yeah. Aren't cops supposed to be, like, better than that? Like, I know they're not, but aren't they supposed to be than this?
You would hope.
Oh, you can't. There's not.
No. There's no hope.
Not really a great chance of hope here for this.
No. A few hours later, Henry Hubbard Jr. was walking into another ER with a bullet wound to the hand.
Oh!
He denied having anything to do with the attack, but the evidence fell apart quickly and he was taken into custody within the hour.
Hell yeah, he was.
His DNA was connected him to another unsolved rape case that happened inside an apartment.
Ooh.
After maintaining his innocence for almost a year, Hubbard pleaded guilty or no contest to 38 counts of rape, robbery, kidnapping, and attempted murder. Hubbard tearfully apologized to his victims and his family as he was sentenced to 56 years in prison. However,
56 years is not enough years.
However, with good behavior, he could only serve 27 years, which would have put his release date last year.
This country doesn't, like, this country hates women. The justice system hates women.
Yep. So they found out after all of this that Henry Hubbard was one of Charisma Carpenter's residents.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Her resident? What do you mean her resident?
She was the leasing agent.
Charisma Carpenter was a leasing agent?
Yeah, you missed that?
I thought it was a different leasing agent.
Oh, no. Charisma Carpenter was the leasing agent at the apartment complex that she worked at, that she lived at, which is why she knew that the doors were on upside down.
Oh, okay, got it. Sorry. No, I missed good. That. I thought there were two people. No. I thought there was a leasing agent who booby-trapped her apartment.
No, that was Charisma Carpenter.
What a smart lady.
Yeah.
So, I love that an actress was a leasing agent.
Yeah, same.
I love that so much. It explains why she's a good actress.
Yes. We get through a lot.
You gotta be able to bullshit in that industry.
So, yeah, so she found out later that Henry Hubbard was one of her residents.
Freaking residents. Uh-huh.
Which is why she felt like somebody was working.
Ew. I wonder if he was like a courtesy officer and he like...
Probably.
Ew.
Yeah.
Do you think he knew that it was her down at the beach and he like followed her down there?
Yeah.
What a freaking scumbag.
Yeah.
Ew. God.
Horrible. would like to think that I am a relatively decent investigator if I have enough information. Yeah. And I was not able to find Henry Hubbard Jr. in the prison system in San Diego or in the state of California at all, period, which means that he was released.
Mother fluffer.
Yep.
Ew. And he's like police tactical training. Do they get tactical training?
Doubt it.
Hold on.
And I have 6 weeks of training? Doubt it.
You have 6 weeks of training. You're onboarding 8-hour day? I don't think so.
Right. I look back at the jobs that I've had, and I had to work in, as a salad bar person for a year. A year before I could waitress.
And nobody gave you a gun.
No. I had to work. I had to be trained for 2 straight days before I could do bra measurements at Victoria's Secret.
Thank you. Yes. I remember my first like 90 days there, not even allowed.
No.
I was like straight on the panty bar or beauty.
Yeah.
Not
can
measuring
I be
people.
In the fitting rooms?
No. No.
No. My current job, you have 2 weeks of shadowing before you're even allowed to be alone. Like, I'm sorry. Police officers should have a little bit more.
I agree. Well, and listen, I'm not trying to say... I'm not gonna, like, get on board with, like, the ACAB, whatever.
Yeah.
Because I just feel like generalizing an entire group of people is toxic.
Yeah.
No matter who the people are that you're generalizing.
I agree.
But, and not to say that this guy was fucking stupid, but how are you gonna bring your flashlight, your police-issued flashlight, to a crime scene where you're gonna bind, like, bound people up?
Yep.
And not your handcuffs? Honey.
Ooh, good point.
You're using belts, bro? You got police issue handcuffs.
Accurate. But I think part of it was him wanting the women to bind the men's hands up. It was a part of the fear.
It's like a weird...
Listen, we don't know how criminals' minds work.
That's right. And I'm not, outside of like this situation, I'm not trying to yuck somebody's yum. But like...
Accurate.
I'm just saying, if you're gonna bind somebody up, use handcuffs. I'm just saying. That's just like my little. That's what I'm gonna leave you with. Sorry, I have nothing.
Listen, I don't know.
Higher quality.
All I know is that this son of a bitch is probably out walking around.
Gross.
As we speak.
Do you think he? And this is like what brings me peace is how prisoners treat cops when they are in prison.
Still not enough.
I'm not trying to say like...
I just think that if he... take away all of the other people. I believe there were 6 attacks.
Oh my God.
Take away the 4 adult grown women. Leave the babies.
The sweet baby children.
Those sweet babies. And he got 57 years.
For all 6?
For all 6. And he was released after 27? Like.
There's math in there somewhere.
What?
That's like, is not enough. 27 years for 6? That's like a little over 4 years per incident.
Hold on, let me reread. So. Okay, 38 counts of rape, robbery, kidnapping, and attempted murder.
And he served 20 years.
27.
27 years. So.
Yeah.
Less than a year per count.
Yeah, less than a year per count. And he terrorized an entire city for 2 months. It's just, it's horrible. How did this happen?
And I'm not trying to, like, keep coming back to this, but, like... Don't the hiring managers at the police station have, like, some kind of, like, vetting process?
He was an excellent... He had nothing on his record.
Well, I'm sure, but, like, you and I, as women, can look a dude in the eyes and know if he's rapey. Like, you're telling me the police can't, like, get an intuition for some dude that is, like, abusing his power or seems to be, like, on a wibbly-wobbly path towards undesirable behavior.
Yeah. I mean, I think if there was something in his past that maybe had been checkered or maybe had been suspicious, but there wasn't anything. He was married. He had a daughter. His wife was
even like, they all are.
I don't think he did this. Like, there was nobody in his life that stood up and said, yeah, he's freaking weird.
Ew.
He was a star police officer.
That makes it so much grosser.
And there's YouTube videos of him getting all of these awards. And as I think our current political climate, you want to root for him because he's the only black male in a sea of white black police or white police officers.
You want him to be.
And you're like, oh, you shiny little star. Like, I love you so much.
Be the hero that we need you to be.
Right. And he is super tall and lanky. And he walks down and he gets this award. And he's got this huge smile on his face.
Is there like a video of this?
Yeah.
Gross.
And you look at him and you're just like, how
did you do this?
How did you do this? It's not like looking at.
Like John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah, or the Night Stalker, or any of those that you're like, you fucking weird. I would walk on the opposite end of the street. But he looks like...
just like regular guy.
Yeah, any regular guy with like a big bright smile. But one of the things I forgot to put my last bullet point, or another bullet point in there was Charmaine, the one that said, she remembered him saying, shut up, you smart ass. That was what they used as voice recognition. So they had six guys line up
and shut say up, that.
And she was able to pick them out of a lineup.
Good for her.
Yeah. So I'm sorry that was terribly long, but that is my story of the day.
It was icky.
Yes, very icky.
And I hate to say this, but mine too.
Is very icky.
Is very icky.
All right.
It does not... So mine is a cold case.
Oh, okay.
That was very recently solved.
Okay, okay.
Very, very.
I was going to say, I'm glad that we have a survivor story in a cold case. Like, we can't be doing two cold cases at once.
No, no.
But yours is solved, too.
Okay. Mine just got solved.
Ooh.
And it is the local.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. I do not know what you're
going to
tell me.
I think you're going to know as soon as I say her name.
Okay.
April Tinsley.
Oh, Yep. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Was a blonde-haired, button-nosed, happy-go-lucky child. She was a member of the children's choir at the Faith United Methodist Church and a first grader attending Fairfield Elementary School.
Sweet little baby.
Sweet.
First grade.
Honey, the photos of her, she is so cute and adorable. Like, just sweet as pumpkin pie. On April 1st in 1998, a Good Friday, in just 2 weeks after her 8th birthday, April was playing with two of her friends. The group was wandering around and ducking in between houses and, like, just having, like, a little wholesome, like, play day, just, like, running around the neighborhood. Like, I'm sure most kids...
Yeah,
well,
it was, like, 1998, you said?
Mm-hmm. So not like, 1988.
Oh, 1988. Okay, so, I mean... no technology to keep people inside.
No. It's like, be home when the streetlights come on.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of rules. So they're running around having a great time, and it started to drizzle. And so April went back home, left her group of friends, went back home to retrieve her umbrella, but she disappeared around 3 p.m. Tinsley's mother reported her daughter missing to the police when she did not arrive home for dinner that night. The initial search for Tinsley included 250 Fort Wayne police officers and 50 volunteers.
Oh my gosh.
A witness later reported seeing a white man in his 30s forcing a girl believed to be April into his blue pickup truck. 3 days after her disappearance, a jogger found April's body on April 4th, 1988 in a ditch just west of Spencerville, Indiana.
Wow.
Near the body, investigators found one of Tinsley's shoes and a sex toy in a shopping bag.
No.
A motorist later reported seeing a blue pickup truck near this site. Tinsley's autopsy report suggested she had been repeatedly raped and then strangled to death.
No, sweet baby.
I know,
oh
I'm
my
sorry.
God. Okay.
The report determined that she had been dead for 1 to 2 days before she was discovered, and that she had been placed in the ditch approximately 4 hours before she was found.
Oh, wow.
So, 4 days after she was, like, kept alive for, like, maybe a day or two.
Okay.
After she disappeared and then was later dumped in the ditch. Two local radio stations established a reward fund on April 5th, 1988. Additional funds were established for Tinsley's burial and her family. Her memorial service was held on April 8th, 1988 at the Faith United Methodist Church, and she was buried in Green Lawn Memorial Park. Early police investigation led authorities to a 34-year-old suspect who was charged with child molestation in a separate case, but was acquitted of those charges the next month. 90 members of the Fort Wayne community formed the volunteer group APRIL, which stands for Associated Parents Regional Independent League, or later Abduction Prevention Reconnaissance and Information League.
I want to be a part of that.
It sounds awesome.
I got full body goosebumps, like, let's freaking go.
We can still go join it, I'm sure.
On April 20th. I don't want to join anything that's a reconnaissance league.
don't talk to me, I'm recon.
What do you do for a living? Can't talk about it.
Can't talk about it. It's very secret. I recon things. Okay.
We would.
So they formed this group on April 20th, 1988 to help police solve cases involving missing children. Skipping forward a little bit, on June 24th, 2005, the Tinsley family held a press conference at the Allen County Courthouse asking for leads in the case. In June 2009, Indiana authorities asked the FBI Child Abduction Response Deployment Task Force to help them solve the murder.
FBI?
FBI. 2009, FBI, the feds.
Wow, so we're going forward.
Forward. We're gonna go back a little bit.
Okay, all right.
So, her murderer left several anonymous messages and notes in the Fort Wayne area between 1990 and 2004.
What the fuck?
Openly boasting about April's murder and threatening to kill again.
I remember that. I remember hearing about that.
Mm-hmm. On May 21st, 1990, police found a message on a St. Joseph Township barn reading, "I killed 8-year-old April M. Tinsley," as well as, "Did you find the other shoe? Ha ha, I kill again."
What an asshole.
What a sick human. Fucking foul. The message was written with crayons, which were found near the barn. Investigators initially believed it could be connected to the murder of 7-year-old Sarah Jean Bowker, whose body was found on June 14, 1990 in Fort Wayne. Local and state police formed a homicide team in April 1991 to investigate Tinsley and Bowker's cases. On April 7, 1991, the FBI's Behavioral Science Unit determined that although Tinsley and Bowker's cases were similar, they were ultimately unrelated.
I wonder what the deciding factor in that was.
I don't know. I couldn't find any more information. I didn't dig in too deep on Sarah Bowker.
Okay.
But I don't know. It didn't go into further detail about this. During the Memorial Day weekend in 2004, four notes were found in the Fort Wayne area that were believed to have been written by Tinsley's murderer. Three of these notes were left on girls' bicycles, and another one was left in a mailbox. Three notes are placed in plastic bags, along with used condoms and Polaroid pictures of a naked man's lower body. One of these notes read, "Hi, honey. I've been watching you. I'm the same person that kidnapped and raped and killed April Tinsley. You are my next victim. If you don't report this to police and if I don't see this in the paper tomorrow or on the local news, I will blow up your house."
What the actual fuck?
Right.
No!
Right. I read that and I was like, I don't remember reading about that in the paper when this just got solved, though.
I'm horrified. I'm so glad that this is solved. Otherwise, I would have the biggest nightmares.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Okay. All right. I am very uncomfortable and upset, but let's continue.
The DNA from the condoms matched the police's DNA profile of the suspect, leading investigators to believe the incidents were connected.
So they know for a fact that this asshole was doing
the
this
guy, because he sent used condoms with the note. He put used condoms in the bags with the notes to these girls and left them on their bicycles.
And this is as late as 2004?
Yeah, this happened Memorial Day weekend in 2004.
Bro, DNA has been around for a good fucking long while.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is not new.
Nay, nay.
Okay.
Not new. So, Soon after the murder, police release a composite sketch of the subject based on the account of a person who said they saw the kidnapper. On April 26, 1998, police sent DNA samples of Tinsley and five suspects to a private lab in Germantown, Maryland for profiling, giving inconclusive results. The FBI's behavioral analysis unit created a profile of the suspect, describing him as a preferential child sex offender, meaning, this is so gross to read out loud, he has a long-term and persistent sexual desire for children. The profile described the murderer as a white male, then in his 40s through 50s, living or working in northeast Fort Wayne, Allen County, with a low to medium income.
Like, they were able to triangulate it to he lived and worked in northeast Fort Wayne?
Lived or worked, because it was where the notes were found.
Okay, all right. The so bodies. He wasn't spreading stuff around Fort Wayne.
It was pretty concentrated to our area. So, in June 2015, the Virginia-based company Parabin released a snapshot composite sketch of the suspect based on information from his DNA, which I think is so cool.
I'm sorry, repeat that?
They released a snapshot, quote-unquote, composite sketch of the suspect based on information from his DNA. So they were able to, like, break down his genetic code.
And be like, he's be got like, brown these, hair, he's got...
Yep, these are the features he most likely has. Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
Police released an updated version of this sketch in early May 2016.
Oh my God.
In May 2018, a Fort Wayne Police Department detective sent a sample of the suspect's DNA to the forensics company Parabin Nanolabs, which used a genealogy website, GED Match, to identify the suspect's relatives. On July 2nd, 2018, the genealogist C.C. Moore narrowed down the list of suspects to two brothers, including 59-year-old John D. Miller of Grable, Indiana, whose neighbors described him as secluded and often angry. The police found used condoms in Miller's trash and collected DNA that matched the DNA of the suspect.
Wow.
Detectives approached Miller at his house on July 15, 2018 and asked him to come and talk with them at the police station. After advising him of his rights, the investigators asked him if he knew why they wanted to talk to him. According to police, he replied, because of April Tinsley. During an interview at the police station, he confessed to the murder, saying he abducted her, raped her, choked her to death in his trailer, and sodomized her body, and then dumped it.
Oh my heavens.
Officials charged him with murder, child molestation, and confinement, and he pled not guilty in a court hearing on July 19th, 2018. On December 7th, 2018, Miller changed his plea to guilty, saying that he raped her and strangled her with his bare hands. He was sentenced to 80 years in prison, 50 years for murder, and 30 years for child molestation. After sentencing, he was housed at the Indiana Department of Correction Reception Diagnostic Center in Plainfield, Indiana. On July 16th, 2019, he was moved to the Newcastle Correctional Facility. Miller's earliest possible release date is scheduled for July 15th, 2058, when he would be 99 years old. 99 years old. He was in his 40s in the 80s.
Yeah, okay. All right, listen, this is going to be the same argument, but he got 50 years for murder.
And 30 for child molestation.
Okay, but...
In 2018.
But 50 years for murder, like, just that little segment alone,
mm-hmm.
April Tinsley most likely would have lived to be past 58 years old, so...
She would still be alive, right?
Yeah, she would still be alive by the time that he got out for that. Like, yes, he got more for child molestation, but to me, that's just... they should not be able to get out of jail before that person...
Like, would have naturally...
died.
I see the logic in that.
You know?
Yeah.
I think you should have to serve more than a life... more than the life you took.
Yes. I agree with you. And just, like, some quick brain math here.
Oh, God. You said we were doing math.
I know. I lied. Jenny. I lied. We're bad at it. Somebody correct me. Somebody with a calculator. Okay, so 50 years for murder. And 30 years for child molestation. That's 80 years.
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
And he pled guilty in 2018.
Okay.
So that would put him up for release in 20, 98.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he's eligible for parole in 2058, which is 40 years sooner than his sentencing.
Okay, so...
eligible for parole.
Half time for... is it good behavior? Half?
I don't know. I think... listen, if you had good behavior, your ass wouldn't be in prison.
Right.
Thank you.
So sorry.
No. Violent crimes where you, like, abduct a child and rape a child and kill a child and dump a child. Like, you are no longer eligible for parole.
Absolutely. Goodbye.
Bye. Forever. You... ew. I
don't get it. You absolute garbage trash.
This is why I'm not a judge, because I'd be like, you suck. You can live the rest of your life in jail.
Absolutely.
Bye. So...
this is why we didn't go into law enforcement. We are unable to have a non-biased opinion.
All we have are opinions.
All we have are biased opinions.
All we have are biased opinions in each other.
It's the perpetual idea that one of us is right.
I can sustain myself fully on unbiased opinions. Absolutely. And laughter with you.
I'm so glad.
April Tinsley's mother held a balloon launch at April's Garden on April 4th, 2018, just a few weeks before they, like, found him.
Wow. Like, caught him. Okay.
The service was in remembrance of her daughter and other child victims of violence. The following day at Fairfield Elementary School, a pink magnolia tree and a bench were formally dedicated to April's memory. The dedication was followed by a candlelight vigil. In 2009, this story was ran on America's Most Wanted. Crime Watch Daily covered it, and the episode aired in 2016. And it was also featured in an episode of On the Case with Paula Zahn, which aired on July 15th, 2018, just hours after the arrest was made.
Holy shit.
Isn't that insane? Indiana State Police honored 3 Fort Wayne investigators for helping authorities identify John D. Miller as a suspect in the Tinsley case. In May 2019, 9 investigators who had worked to secure the arrest and conviction of April's murder became the recipients of the National Association of Police Organizations National Policing Award. This award was in recognition of their tireless collaborative efforts conducted over the span of 30 years to see April's murder brought to justice.
Wow.
So you had a terrible cop, I had good cops.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad that we were able to even that out. So April would have been 42?
She was born in 80. So
40?
Maybe 40.
Yeah. Wow.
Wow.
That's heavy.
It's V heavy. But it's solved.
Thank God.
And at least there's some peace.
Yeah. And
I would hope.
Are pretty sure closure. That that was his only victim, right? He didn't admit to anything else.
No. But the FBI did, like, identify him as, like, persistent, long-based sexual attraction to children.
So he probably...
who knows?
...acted against other children, but didn't take it as far as murdering their poor innocent bodies?
It could be. And, like, who... well, here's the cool thing about Indiana. We have public records, so, like, we can just get onto mycase.gov right now and look up the entire plea deal.
I had somebody the other day be like, hey, can you help me with this thing? And I was like, yeah, sure. And she's like, I need help to know about, never mind, I'm just going to cut all this out. I'll tell you offline.
Okay.
I don't want to get myself in trouble.
Well, boy, did you come to the right place for Snoopy Snoopy stuff.
Taylor, cut that off.
Don't you dare. Tell the whole internet about all the private investigations that you do.
Nope. No. No, I like the things that I do when I'm not podcasting.
I really like to be able to, like, track anybody down on the internet. We're just, like, not trying to jeopardize that.
Yeah, for absolutely. A moment.
So, might come in handy later.
Oh, man.
So, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Oh, do you have a bright shiny for today?
My bright shiny is a deep gratitude towards heating pads and muscle relaxers.
Yeah, I like it.
Thanks. It's really pulling me through this.
Yeah, you're doing great. Moment. You're doing so good.
I appreciate it. They kicked in about 20 minutes ago.
Great. Excellent. We're going to get through this and we're going to record another one.
Yeah, we're just going to knock it all out and then I'm going to sleep.
Yeah. My bright shiny is that Ryan has figured out how to switch his sleep schedule when we're on vacation.
Oh my God.
So we went to Chicago last week and we got to be on the same schedule all week. And he is off until this coming Sunday. So he will be awake when I get home.
Oh my God. I love that.
I'm really excited. It was very weird to be like, I'm...
It's 11 a.m., buddy. You're up.
Well, like, I don't ever have to tell him what I'm doing. Like, at night, like, I just leave.
He just leaves you to your devices.
Yeah, I was, like, packing up, and he was like, where are you going? And I was like, oh, I'm recording with Jenny tonight. And he was like, oh, what am I going to do? And I was like, I don't know. You'll figure it out.
You'll be all right, Ryan.
But he never has to figure it out because he's always asleep. So when I get home tonight, he will still be awake. And I have gotten to actually sleep like beside my husband for like 6 days straight. And my heart is just really happy about it.
Oh, I love that. I'm happy for you.
Thank you.
That's going to be my bright shiny too. I'm happy that you are happy.
Oh, that's good. Okay.
So follow us on the social medias, especially Twitter at A Little Bit Grim 2.
Yes.
And not the first one.
Not the first one. We are A Little Bit Grim Pod on Instagram. If you want to share your oogie spooky stories with us for our next grab bag episode.
Please. Or like true crime. Or like you thought you saw like a bank robbery. Or like you robbed a gas station. We want to know.
Yeah. You have a doppelganger. Let us know about that. I want to know your
wait.
You think you have a ghost.
Did I tell you about doppelgangers?
What? No.
Oh. Okay, never mind. Weird. Weird universe synchronicity.
Okay. Huh. Interesting. All right.
Very strange.
So,
we want to know... That bird is not my doppelganger.
We want to know all the weird shit that's happening to you, because for sure we're going to tell you about the weird shit that's happening to us.
So,
email us at alittlebitgrim@gmail.com, and we will talk to you soon. Be safe out there and be kind to one another. Goodbye!